Aaron posted that Mike North said that Stephen Miller is a reincarnation of Goebbels, and then several people chimed on about that. That's what Joe was responding to.
I see. Okay. Yeah, it's kind of sometimes it's a little difficult to read the chat and see all of you, et cetera, et cetera. That's he is a fanatical sage, and now he's getting a chance to fulfill what Goebbels didn't do, and that's his equivalent is Project 2025. So, yeah. All right, Brad. Brad, you're up. Yeah, unmute, please.
Hello.
Or
It's
Lori. Hi, Lori and
actually.
Brad. Whichever one
Hello.
of you want to speak.
Yeah, I appreciate the insights on current feelings. We've definitely gone through a lot of I guess existential dread and
Yes.
I have like certain things I'd like to make into little videos. And yeah, I'm afraid of the backlash I'd get.
The thought police.
No, just more like
Like
the
YouTube police.
MAGAs and people threatening to kill me or something. And honestly, because I want to make this video on acupressure points people can press in order to, and I'm talking mostly about women of childbearing age who want to, that can help regulate their periods so that they wouldn't get pregnant, basically. And it can cause miscarriages. So as an acupuncturist, I wouldn't do these points on people because they're called forbidden points in acupuncture. But I could teach people how to do the acupressure on themselves in a video and put it out there. And as a direct, fuck you to MAGAs in red states that are taking away women's rights to have any control over their bodies. And because that is the way I feel, I will be honest.
No,
But I
we're
am
delighted.
afraid.
You're talking about the emotion of anger, and you're
Yeah.
talking about righteous indignation about a principle. And that's where we said anger, Lori, is valid. Now, in terms of how to deal with your fear of reprisal, that's up to you. How to deal with your fear of reprisal. Otherwise, what we said in tonight is, power mode said stand up. And cynic and the positive pole says put up or shut up. And dealing with the fear and taking the risk is up to you, dear. You are at choice. It is what you believe you can do. And as far as a lot of the MAGAs out there, one of the things that you can do for yourself is to realize that much of what you publish, you don't, however you. For them to find Lori Gilbert and come over to your house and make your phone calls and stuff, that is much less likely to happen than the predominant undertone of the state of fear that is out there in actual probabilities. But notice when you're dealing with the emotional center, is to honor the fear and then decide if you're going to do it anyway.
And I do feel this overwhelm and exhaustion as well.
Yeah, we can tell you if you do it, you will find yourself experiencing a great deal of emotional charge, some very anxious, some very, some actually exhilarating and exciting. It's about taking that risk or not. Again, we're not encouraging you to do this. We are telling you that that is the threshold precipice. But we want to acknowledge your, again, righteous indignation. Oh, did we lose you? Oh, I see you just turned off
No,
your screen.
I'm still here.
Okay.
We have another screen up that doesn't have a microphone or video. It's a much bigger screen.
I see.
That,
Oh, okay. There, you're both
so,
on there. Well, that's fine.
so, so you don't see the likelihood of it being imperiling the lives of me or my family here? Like,
no, we don't see the likelihood of that. And we don't want to pretend that that can't happen. That kind of absolute statement, is just, even though the probability is very low, remember what the state of fear on a group level tries to do. It tries to introduce that silence, that martyrdom, the statement that we made earlier. Oh, shut the hell up. Don't say anything. Somebody might pay attention. And yet the positive polls say, you know, fuck you. I'm standing up. I'm not going to just do this.
Yeah,
I'm not going to just roll over.
Yeah, I just don't want the actual martyrdom to happen. You know, I don't want to be
right.
A martyr.
And yet you will suffer internally, the internal vacillation, until you make a choice.
Yeah, that's been the hard part is deciding, and then executing as well. I've just had a hard time with all of that in the last few years. I am so scatterbrained, and
well, we want to acknowledge
overwhelmed
old
all the
soul,
time.
Old soul, comfy and cozy. Your life with Brad and your family is working really great. It's working really great on a personal, you know, level. It's your what you see in the surrounding environment that your principles, you know, essence to personality are being stirred, while ego to personality is saying, I don't know, don't rock the boat.
Yeah, I have gotten my creature comforts satisfied. I'll tell you that, and I like it.
And there is
I
nothing
don't.
wrong about your creature comforts and liking it. Nothing morally wrong about it. But notice how they, in perceiving this level of fear of losing your comforts, how easily it also short circuits your own higher centers wanting to operate in a principled way. And one of the things that we have said, and what we try to make the point of, is folks, complacency and inactivity will guarantee the outcome everyone is fearing. That's why we made a point of that sign saying, yes, you could pretend, oh yeah, history is going to repeat itself and Trump's going to end up in his gold bathroom blowing his brains out like Hitler did in his bunker. And it's not going to happen.
Oh yeah, I
Mr.
also was
Trump is
thinking.
having a great time. He's having a great time being the world destroyer.
There's so many conspiracy theories. I mean, I thought the one that was great about Hitler was that he went to Antarctica, you know, and was living in some kind of, you know, alien base or something there. And there's just all kinds of that stuff that people seem to believe now about everything. It's nuts.
When people don't have stable data, as we said earlier, Lori, they will go to something called wishful thinking. And wishful thinking in the negative, a negative experience of wishful thinking produces what's known as conspiracies. It makes it ripe for credulity.
Okay. I'll also put it out there. I'm looking for somebody to help me with making a video. So if any of you got some expertise and can want to help me on this project, I'll take any help I can get. And thank you very much, Steve and Michael.
You're very welcome, Lori. And we're glad you've accumulated your creature comforts, and we're glad that your world is safe, and we're glad that you're having a lot of personally really fun things going on for you guys, even in the milieu of all this. But it also empowers you to take some of that energy and put it out into your community. You could do it as dramatically in that way if you want, or, you know, just go out and do different forms of community involvement.
Thanks.
So you bet. Russ and then Nan. I believe that was the order that came up. Russ Leiser and then Nan. Russ, if you're ready, you can mute yourself. Unmute yourself.
I'll do one step further past Michael. Lori, I'm behind you 1,000%. I have at least 5 women in my divorce support group, plus my own friends and long-term buddies. And they're all suffering in some way. And acupuncture to help a woman feel better or to get through a period or especially menopause, because a lot of my group friends are 55 and older. They're with the mess that's going on in the world. They're very, very troubled. You would be a blessing. The other part is, Michael, thank you for addressing the anger. I am filled with it. You saw the B2s that just blew up small parts of Iran. I helped build that airplane, and I'm extremely proud of it. And the way the news and Hegseth and the rest of those idiots in Washington are handling the whole pronouncement and aspect of that flight and mission is abominable. It's a horrible denigration of the years that we spent to build that beautiful thing. Unfortunately, a chassis of destruction. But it's when that thing goes up in the air, it cannot be found or detected. It's that stealthy, and the stealth technology is still the most precious and guarded technology in the entire world. But I needed to hear that tonight. Watch your anger, put it towards energy. Don't let it usurp you, because it's just filling up my entire body. I appreciate the words and the energy.
Good. And we'll add one more thing to it, folks. Anger is was an unfor- the way it was cast for from the original channels. Remember, it came through an original channel who was studying Hinduism, and then it was put through, Chelsea Quinn Yarborough, who was so sheep dipped in, you know, New Age, anger is not cool, that they forgot that anger is a vital life force and part of mammalian life. And it is not always a, quote, secondary reaction to fear, because it is a primary reaction in standing up for a principle and your boundaries. The key is not to devolve into wild, uncontrolled rage. It is about clearly harnessing that energy and making it a decisive, coupled with the masculine energy that is, of 61% that is happening this year, and making decisive uses of it. In a sense, you might even say, metaphorically speaking, if you're going to do a bomb run, do a bomb run, go after those attitudes and those circumstances that you want to see defeated with clarity and determination. And don't let up. Part of compassion, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, is standing up to lies. Exactly. Even to the, it's compassion for the liar, even though it may represent an intellectual smackdown. Because otherwise, pandering just allows the entire cycle going forward. So thank you, Russ. Nan, you're next. You're on mute, Nan.
Yeah.
Just wanted to suggest to Lori, I understand her concern about being chased by people. You're not going to be like the senator in Minnesota that got shot. But you could create a slightly altered persona. Create a
Nan, did you have a question or did you want to connect with Lori perhaps offline on this?
okay, well, the fact is, the chat only allows you to talk to everyone. It doesn't allow you to select a
Oh,
person.
is that right? This one doesn't allow for individuals. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it
So,
doesn't allow that.
Oh, thank you, Zoom, once again, for sabotaging our ability to connect with each other in the middle of these meetings.
Yeah, I looked for it. I looked for it.
Okay.
And maybe you and Lori could exchange emails on the group chat, and then you could take it away and do that.
Okay. No, I'm willing to do that. My original idea was to just do a chat just to Lori, but you can't do it.
Thank you for letting me know, Nan. And by the way, I'm not trying to shut you down. I appreciate you wanting to connect. That is much desired for you all to have mutual connections with each other here. We just wanted to make sure we gave opportunity to as many people as possible to have their questions answered by us. So by all means, folks, put phone numbers, emails, and or what have you in the chat to each other and say, let's get together offline. So I encourage you to put out that information to one another. All right. So was there anything else, Nan, or can I move on to Karen?
No, go on.
All right, thank you. Karen.
Hi. You know, it's funny.
Hi.
I've never succumbed to toxic positivity because anger is like my default emotion. I was just a side note. I think all of this really affects our adrenals and our cortisol levels, and the more
Yes.
high your cortisol is, the more pissed off you are.
Yeah,
So
there's truth
I've been
in
working
that.
trying to like lower my cortisol, and maybe it'll take my rage down a notch. But life just seems to keep triggering it. But on a positive note, so we've seen Bernie Sanders and AOC touring the country and bringing out huge crowds, even in very red areas. And we just had a progressive win the Democratic nomination in New York City, Zohran Mamdani, which kind of shocked a lot of people to be progressive in New York City. Does the consortium see like maybe this is a positive force that could move forward to really are people waking up, like really waking up to the and listening now? To shift even maybe not MAGA, but people, moderate conservatives.
Oh no, there's a lot of granularity that is happening, but it's not contained yet into larger mass forces. One of the things about MAGA as an energy and the ultra-right wing is it's like a solid sludge. It's a cement. It is solidified and it is together. Whereas much of these new disaffected, in combination of those of you who have felt more expansive, because the Democratic Party as a vehicle, at least in this country, felt like it disintegrated some or a great deal after this last election, doesn't mean that all of you stopped being or stopped believing or stopped wanting for something. But there's a new cohesion going on, and that's part of the artisan energy. Of we and artisan discrimination, no less, is rearranging all the parts and they're being scrambled. And so you have moments like this. Look at the effectiveness of not only Bernie and AOC, but a lot of the Democratic lawmakers who are showing up in these red states and doing the town hall meetings when their own Republican representatives will not. And that is a galvanization, an emotional galvanization that acts as an incendiary force to blow things apart so many of them can come together in new forms. I mean, the Democratic Party needs to kind of reform itself and reorient itself to a newer generation. And that is energy that needs to happen. You can say this is bad or this is good, whatever, but the whole process is happening. So with his winning, one of the things that it represents is, he looks to us to be a warrior, and he is a really solid individual. He's like a king caste, Sage Essence twin, so he's articulate. And he represented something that was really interesting. New but not radical, clear and not conformist, centered in himself, and saying the only path forward is essentially together. And that kind of energy is exactly what people are now saying, because they can see the Republican, even many of the MAGAs can see that the fact that the wealth group in the world, the ultra, the part that represents the ultimate manifestation of the late negative pole of the young soul era that is running this country, and many of the, and much of the wealth in the world is failing them. Finally, they wanted to believe the outlandish notion that just because this guy had the title businessman meant he was going to fight for the little guy. Since when? But I mean, that's how desperate a lot and how distorted a lot of these folks were. Now they're coming to see that that won't work. The thing that we have greatest concern about is there is still nothing that we can see that's guaranteeing that you will face another presidential election. This fellow is trying to destroy enough of the institutions, and now the extreme court is helping him do that even more so in a lot of their passive rulings, that will set up things down the road that he will try and dismiss the next set of elections. And then everything that you guys are trying to do now by being nice and not getting involved will come back to, confront you as you may not have any choice. So it does represent some really good movements forward. And that's the energy that we were talking about, that this much of this artisan year also lends itself to you folks to implement. So, and as far as you having anger as your default, you go, girl. A king with anger. All you need to do is find yourself an outlet, instead of having it attack yourself. But we do want to comment something you talked about with cortisol. We really do want to say one of the things that is really important, and it's not been a topic we've talked about a lot so far in any of our presentations, is that many of you got to come to terms with your bodies. And we don't mean the way your bodies look. We don't care about your appearances anymore. We do care about what is the state of your overall health and well-being? All right. And the American diet is essentially a toxic one, particularly because it is so processed. Even the American diet that's supposedly the health food company's oriented version of it is still nonsense. Going back to simple things. And we realize that many of our vegetarian friends kind of just gasp in a in a basement when we say this, is the method that animals are killed for meat protein is abominable. There's no question. But we will tell you that animal proteins still represent, and or whether that's fish or meats or what have you, still represent the best form of the foundation of a healthy diet. And the more of you that can still afford to eat like that, because it's rapidly sneaking up behind you, ladies and gentlemen, that many whole foods, basic foods, unless they're grown by you, are processed in a number of ways, and they've got hidden additives. Even a lot of the supplements and stuff you buy and dietary goods you buy have a lot of stuff that are imbalanced. And they may be helpful to you. They may be a little bit better than some of the, commercial processed foods, but make no mistake, there's still products being sold, and they have to have a shelf life and that sort of thing. So Eating well will lower cortisol. Yes, managing stress, but understand it's stress against the self, like what Lori is facing, that increases cortisol much more than taking your sense of indignation and applying it out in the world. That will actually raise your vibration, and your body will respond by having lower, because cortisol, you might even say, is the cognitive dissonance hormone. And the less you have cognitive dissonance, the less you are going to have cortisol build up in your body, in the way that then it produces personal health effects. And also, cortisol is a form of a drug. You know, it facilitates ego being permissible to issuing hate and hostility. And that might be a temporary fix, but it doesn't solve anything. It's embracing true anger and utilizing it to stand behind principles that will uplift your vibration. So addressing the chemistry of cortisol inside of yourself will help support that. It will physically help stabilize your vibration, but emotionally and behaviorally, those are the other two pieces. Thank you for that question. Does that at least answer some of what you asked?
Yes, thank you.
All right, Karen, you're welcome. Thank you. I believe Catherine was up next, and then Angela.
I'm actually asking this question on behalf of Paige, who is not able to unmute her phone. And she wanted to know, is there any way to stop the sale of our national parks? Are people destined to destroy habitats to privatize public lands? Is Greta Thunberg and others stepping up to channel the infinite energy?
Okay, well, they're not going to sell off the national parks, but they are going to sell public lands. And we want to make that distinction. Why? Because the national parks are already essentially quasi-privatized already by virtue of the fact that almost all of them are managed by, I forget what they call them, hospitality companies, essentially like those, the things that run hotels, and you know, that do concessions and run a lot of their services. The rangers and the law enforcement in there will remain, because they, in spite of the fact that Doge and everything else, which is Doge already has had its effect, but it's also falling apart. And that's one thing in the artisan year, it generates many possible novelties, and the ones that don't catch fall apart. Now, is there going to be national park sale, national land, public land sales? And the answer is yes. But what's really going to happen is, instead of the lands themselves, they're going to do another one of these so-called about face turns, and they're going to sell off all the timber rights and all the mineral rights. But they're not going to sell the land. They'll still call those public lands, even though all those people who want to go camping and want to go hunting and want to go fishing are going to be going to desolate forests. And we're sorry to sound pessimistic, but understand, ladies and gentlemen, that's one of the reasons Tao put pessimism, or excuse me, that's why they put the attitude of cynicism right in front of you, is not to be scared off by, quote, hard consequences. It's to confront them. And to realize that these things have been building. And then, of course, with Trump, apathy is what put him in the White House. All those people who didn't vote put him in the White House, as well as the hatred and animosity, as well as, instead of conspiracy, call it the collusion with many state electoral boards and many state officials who managed to, eliminate people off the voter rolls and so forth. So it narrowed those who did get to vote. Was it legal for the vast part of it? Yeah, legal, not ethical, not constitutional, but legal, in that they created statutes and enforcements of these things that weren't challenged. So that part, that process is still in front of you, ladies and gentlemen. That's why, you know, garnering hope as an act of defiance, not as a measure of probability, is where you need to stand with it. It's saying, yes, things look like they're going to hell in a handbasket, and I'm still going out to fight it. And I'm going out to build something new to compensate for what they're trying to take away, or at least contribute to that. Because obviously no one individual here is going to build their own post office. And we're not talking about a building kiosk. We're talking about the entire institution. But you can fight like hell to prevent privatization of the post office, for instance. And we believe that will be, even though that's in Project 2025, to essentially privatize the entire government, we believe a lot of that's going to fall flat on its face. And where that's going to happen is a lot in the midterms, because there will still be midterm elections. And getting the apathetic angry will be a useful thing to getting, you know, some of the junk people out of that, and actually getting new people to actually start stopping. Because we can tell you, if Trump tries anything militaristic on the Congress, civil war will happen. And you'll be surprised. A lot of MAGA people are really brave because they have guns, but confronted by people who have righteous indignation and principles, they will cower. And so will many of the people in the military. You all saw Trump's military parade. Joe, as a military man, knows that that was an act of utter passive-aggressive defiance. It was the most sloppy military parade of any country in the last half century. And of course, the idiot didn't even get it. Why? Because the idiot has never been. And are you hearing us say the idiot? We are. Because Donald Trump is a character actor who is a straw man that has managed to acquire to himself on one idea. Idiocy means just one thing. That's what the true root word of idio is, just one thing. So idiocy in its truest Latin root means centered around one thing, and it means me first. And he, through the epitome of that operating principle, has drawn everybody to him who believes that as well. And even with all their money, the thing about it is they haven't got the numbers. They've got money, and they can hire all the vigilantes and all the mercenaries they want, but they can't sustain them with money alone. And when the numbers rise, these things can and will fall. The question is, how many will rise and will stand? That's why we said to you, Lori, when we were using you as a case in point, we're not suggesting you have to do anything, dear. We're not suggesting you put yourself out there as a sacrificial slaughtered lamb to be slaughtered. We are suggesting, though, that you and everyone who decides to make a stance, even in your own small way, you contribute to this momentum toward crushing this artifice of fear. So, and then the last part of that is, yes, Greta Thunberg is, and a number of people are holding the more infinite soul energy, you know, in literally proclaiming we have a future, but the infinite soul at the young to mature soul era, it's not just love your neighbor as yourself. That was the phrase from the baby to young soul era. The new phrase would be, is we stand together as one and work for life. That is the new rallying point. That is the infinite soul energy. Because notice when you hear that phrase, we stand together as one and we work for life, that it's completely antithetical to their stance on that side. But also, it is completely expansionary and principled in doing anything and everything toward the advancement of not just humanity, ladies and gentlemen, because the earth doesn't need humans, doesn't. Humans need humans. Not even the Tao needs humans. It has given you the preeminent agency of free will of all the of any species on this planet, and it's up to you to decide what you're going to do with it. So for those of you who embrace that infinite soul message and that infinite soul energy in that way and contribute in that format, you will be acting on the mature soul energies in the love orientation that we were talking about earlier. And will you have some of these setbacks? Yes. On private lands? Yes. And then in 25 years, if that trajectory keeps going and you continue to build, you will still be able to recapture and to a degree rehabilitate nature. It's human beings that face the greatest hurdle of rehabilitation. And the saddest thing that we have to say is that it was in the 1960s and 70s that the window opened on the world to not only continue the evolution from one soul age to the next, but do it in the more mature soul way. And that was through peace and evolution. Unfortunately, that window is passed. It will be through confrontation and through violence as the next, as the way that we'll have to continue this evolution. It is now locked in stone. You've crossed off too many crossroads or variables out of the equation. And why do we say that? Because in a way it's to alert you, to bring into awareness that many of the principles that maybe you as old souls would have in a in an absolute ideal world, the reality is you're living in a relativistic world that neutrality will do nothing but support the oppressors, because they have no scruples. They have no limits. They have only destruction. And it is you who have scruples and who have limits that sometimes must stand even harshly, tersely, and turn their own means upon them to advance the future from here. So I believe Angela was next. So thank you for asking that for Paige, Catherine, and then Angela's next, and then Jillian. Go ahead, Angela, unmute yourself and then ask your question.
Hi. Okay. Talking about food. I don't know if anybody else has noticed this. Now, I'm in a situation where I just gave up driving. I just sold my car. So I do a lot of grocery shopping online and having it delivered to me, because that's the option I have to me. And but I don't know if anybody else has noticed, including the organic stuff, how fruits and vegetables just don't taste the same anymore, including the organics. They're terrible. It's hard to find anything that is ripe, you know, like especially like with fruits, ripe, you know, sweet, you know, the way it should taste, tasting the way it should taste. They're terrible. Same thing with many vegetables as well. They don't taste like they used to. And like I said, including the organic stuff. And I know that there was a push a few years back with Big Agro wanting to lower the standards of what can be called organic. And I'm sure they got at least some of it through.
Oh, they succeeded. They succeeded. Yes. They have a USDA version of organics that's quite watered down. Yeah.
Yeah. And, just terrible. I got a supposedly organic cucumber, and this was from Safeway, and it was bitter, but not only was it bitter, it had this weird aftertaste to it that did not taste like cucumber at all. And I ended up just cutting it up and throwing it down the disposal. I refused to eat it because I just felt so concerned about what the hell is in this that is making it taste so weird? It had this kind of weird aftertaste to it. And I'm finding many things are like that. And many of the fruits that I buy, even from Whole Foods, are just sour and not ripe and I mean, just plain terrible. And I find I'm just eating, fewer and fewer vegetables because and fruits because I just don't like the taste of them. And unfortunately, I'm one of these people who grew up, in kind of like small town America. My parents had their own garden, so I know what things are supposed to taste like because, they grew their own vegetables, and so I know what apples are supposed to taste like, and corn is supposed to taste like, and green beans are supposed to taste like. And nothing these days is tasting like that. And it used to be, and I started eating organic for a variety of reasons, but one of the which is that it tasted much closer to garden grown. And now they don't anymore. It's just really awful. And that's the only comment I, wanted to make, about food and how our, I think our food is just deteriorating and getting worse and worse. And unfortunately, I'm not wealthy, so I can't go to the fancy schmancy, grocery stores that would have, maybe have a better quality of produce. So anyway, that was just my comment. I mean,
Well, we do have a few comments for you. Just on a, we will simply give you one suggestion. Is that find a local shopper who can do your shopping at the farmers markets if they're still over at X Street under the freeways, and buy do your buying there. You may pay a little bit more, but you will get food that tastes good and that you don't question. That's number one. That's just as a practical thing. Number two, we want to acknowledge your comment because there is something that we have warned about through many of our channels over the last 20 years, and that is the depletion of soils. The natural depletion, it's the depletion of soils of their natural components because of the agribusiness and the hyper use ways that growing has happened. Has depleted many soils. Even when they are, quote, organically redone, there's very little time left anymore for that for fields to go fallow for natural recovery. In commercial enterprises, agribusiness, of course, it's chemicalized. Chemical fertilizers, pesticides, sprays, everything. And even with the rubber stamping of the FDA or the USDA, this is happening, in the United States more than anywhere. Many other countries don't have quite this problem. They face soil depletions as well, mind you, they do. But they have not brutalized their food industries like American business has. So some of the things that you're experiencing are literally foods that have all of these components. Not to mention many of which are now more and more either hybridized or genetically modified that come to your table and are not being required to, be labeled. And in those things, then, you're getting these chimeras that don't have the same tastes. And as a commercial practice, they are picked less and less ripe, expecting to ripen, that they say, oh, they'll ripen on their own, et cetera, and that only works to, of course, to a certain degree. So all of your complaints were adding in underlying substance, systemic conditions. And then there's one thing else that's really unfortunate. That's a caveat to this that has not been mentioned is, and that in the United States, besides the depletion of, your agricultural food, industry. You're seeing the real estate industry do some insane things in the name of just short-term profiteering. And that's building on vast swaths of farmland, cropland, on orchard land, etc. So it takes the sheer variety and robustness of that diversity out of production to houses, and then it literally limits the amount of stock that then is available. So you get less quality stuff in general because there's less diversity. And that is, those are true facts, researchable facts, credible facts that those can be followed up and actually looked on. So we just want to acknowledge you that, for what you're saying. But that is our tangible suggestion, is literally look for somebody, put an ads on Craigslist, a buyer to do your shopping at there instead of commercial stores. So, all right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Angela. Jillian, you had your hand up. You're next. Or did we lose Jillian?
How like life?
Oh, there we go. How like life,
So
yes.
one small thing for Angela. I was speaking with a friend of mine who lives in France now, but her whole family lives in Iowa, and they were all supporting Trump. And I asked her how they were responding to all the stuff that's going down, because one of the things in Project 2025 is to buy out all the family farms. And they don't believe that, but they said it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because we know that Trump will bail us out. We don't have anybody to buy our soy. We used to sell it to China, and we used to sell a lot of things for overseas that was US aid, but we know that they'll bail us out. So anyway, there's not a lot of urgency to get stuff done. And I live in California, where the people are afraid to pick strawberries and things, because they're afraid of getting taken away. I have two questions, but I have two questions, and they're very different. One is basically about the technology billionaires who incidentally wanted to buy up large swaths of the public land. It wasn't for drilling, it was for setting up their own fiefdoms that would not be subject to federal or state regulations. So they would have their own like city states. And that was one reason why some of the places like around Yosemite and Shasta and Tahoe were the ones that were being set up to be sold. Because they would like to own it and they would like to control it. So anyway, I see the tech billionaires as being obsessed with power and fear. I mean, they're afraid of dying, and they're afraid of having anybody have any control over their lives. But they're afraid and they're angry. And I'm wondering, is there any way that they can be stopped? And then I'm just going to throw out the other question, and you can answer whichever one you want. The other one is, I have tremendous worry about these migrants, some of whom have documentation and some don't. And if you live in California like I do, they've taught your kids, they've raised your kids, they do your yard, they cook your food. They are such a part of our lives. They are a part of our lives and culture, and to watch them treated so badly. I've been standing in front of the immigration court this week on Wednesday, and dehumanized. And I don't think the people who are taking them are actually anything more than thugs. I don't think that they've been trained even. And I don't know if that's true, but it's certainly my impression. I came close to getting hit. All I did was stand in the way and said, "Excuse me, don't be an ice hole. This is a person." And they were taken aback. And then I told them how old I was, and they're like, "Okay, I'm old enough to be your mother. Don't be like this." So I guess that one was a little bit susceptible to shame, and I'm not above it. So, but I, you know,
Calling shameful behavior is exactly what we were talking about with emotional literacy and compassionate truth telling, even if it's confrontative.
I feel like on all of those, whether
We
it's
commend you for doing that, by the way. That's a took a great deal of bravery. We realize that you may not think that in that moment it did anything, but it shocked that person. And it maybe it didn't stop the process, but you
it did.
shocked that person. You alerted him that this is a shameful behavior, even if he's a macho man stuffing it all.
I
And it
just feel like,
triggered that inside of himself.
no, he was in shame. Trump is in shame. He's afraid of
Yes.
going to jail. He's afraid that he's gonna, anyway, he's afraid that we're gonna find out that he's an idiot. The tech bros are scared of dying. They're scared of having anybody take away their toys. It's like I'm looking at this and are there ways, and I can pick it and I can write letters and all this, but are they even defeatable? Are they even, are there ways to stop them?
So notice you're asking a rational question about something where you're dealing with highly organized irrationality. And we would tell you, as we mentioned a few minutes ago, as we've cast our view, into the next 50 years, we are sad to say that it looks like, there will be some of these people that crumble. As your systems crumble, what has to crumble first is the pretension of what capitalism is now, particularly financial capitalism. But unfortunately, that's also going to take a lot of you out at the bottom as well. Then the anger and the despair will meld together into a force of radical opposition. But the one of the great ironies of all the powerful goodness that humanity has produced for itself is, again, it has created circumstances where many people have gone along, gone along, gone along because they've had so many things work. The creature comforts, as we've called them, more of you. Humanity as a whole has, and your average citizen has more creature comforts than a king or a lord or a pharaoh did. Any one of you, including more buying power and more access to things, with the exception of, say, slaves. And slavery is not literally legal anymore, but of course, it's practiced in many, subordinate ways. Where does this come back to the tech bros? First of all, eventually the tech bros are going to die. Okay. And as they shake, one of the things about greedy narcissists is they never really stick together. And they don't have the unity that you will all have. The second thing is that there are a lot of their underlings who know they are just as they, they're vampire let's call them, and the big vampires may share a little of the blood with them. And we realize that that sounds like a very extreme analogy, but we don't think so. We think it's very apropos.
And they do it literally, by the way.
And there are those, that we know. I mean, when you look at Jeffrey Epstein and that whole group of people, we know it's there. You know what's actually happening in the world at that level of elitism where there are no consequences, or no consequences enforced upon them. And right now, staying metaphysical things like, oh, their karma will come and all these kind of things, it's really a hollow rationalization for people to default to those. It's a way of trying to avoid the facts. What will have to happen is direct and quite extreme resistance confrontation in large numbers. And it's not that they will give anything up or succumb. Elon Musk is not going to give anything up. It's that his underlings of two or three layers underneath them, who still have connections to the people down here, they're the ones who will take them down and out. So I'm afraid we don't have anything at this point because, again, so many pivot points have been crossed where other opportunities, other parallels were, created and considered, if you will, much less volatile than this one and much less destructive than this one. By the way, in destruction, we're not only talking about, unfortunately, human lives. There's many of you here who have four, six, eight concurrent personalities. So your essences, have some sacrificial lambs for the world to lose some of its population. And as we've said to you, the reality as we've seen it is that part of what the earth wants to do itself is to shed about a third of its population. And it's going to do it in any number of means, whether it's starvations and famines from massive dislocations, whether it's disease vectors from new pandemics, or exterminations from wars like what you're seeing. You're attempting to see more of, in Ukraine, but Ukraine is standing up for a good fight, but really seeing in absolute its rawness in Palestine. Even this whole attack of Israel to Iran and then Trump jumping in on that are distraction tactics to get the West's eyes off of the genocide that's happening. So what will also happen then in the United States is the die-off of a lot of old people because of loss of healthcare. The next pieces that will happen is the die-off of a lot of people who are homeless. And many people will also be imprisoned because this is the most, imprisoning country in the world. For the land of the free is hardly that.
Well, and it looks like they're essentially, well, overseas they've already set up concentration camps, but
Yes, right.
they've hired people to turn barracks and things into concentration camps in Texas and other places. I would not be surprised if I ended up in one.
And why we don't see that probability for you? Because it's not created yet. That's the variability in the world. That's the variability in the world. We can tell you one thing. You're white. And believe it or not, as terse and as uncouth as that may sound, that is built-in privilege that lends you some degree of protection, like it
White
or
and
not.
nominally Christian.
And nominally Christian.
Yeah.
So
I feel so much better.
we realize that your option here, Jillian, is to go and do something that is, throws up your hands to some level of despair, like we mentioned earlier. That's
I
the
don't do
option.
that.
Exactly. Now there's the girl. Did you notice what we named it, ladies and gentlemen? We named her alternative, and immediately, as soon as she heard it, she said, "Bullshit, I'm not going there." That's where we said, hope is a warrior's emotion. You do it in spite of the probabilities.
Yeah. And next week I'm going to be learning how to shoot a gun. I've never touched one.
And we would tell you that is actually a wise strategy, at least to know how to do it and how to
The
have that as.
ultimate pacifist, but I'm going to learn how.
And between you and the goon, we hope your aim is better than the goons.
Oh, it would be.
Very good. Very good.
No, you don't use a gun to shoot it. You used it to show that you have it.
And
Anyway,
what
oh,
we have
good. Barbara,
said,
you take it.
what we have said, and we're going to make this very clear to everyone, ladies and gentlemen, a gun is the only tool in human creation that has only one purpose. It's not target shooting. It is not skeet shooting. It is not for intimidation. It is for killing, period. Killing. And when that, in the last 25 years or last 50 years, when all of the argument over, gun control and all that stuff was coming to a head, the fact that more fear came up is what perpetuated the want for guns. And so fear and guns go together, sort of like salt in a wound. So, Barbara, you had your hands up. Thank you, Jillian.
So I want to shift a little bit, try and shift the
Go right
energy.
ahead.
Are there, and there's a gazillion different parallels. Okay.
Right.
How many
You
of
guys are
the,
constantly creating.
how many of the parallels or what percentage of the parallels are moving forward to a mature soul in a more positive way than we are?
Right now, only about 40%.
That's a lot to
Yeah.
me.
And yes, that is good because at the beginning of this year, we would have said it was actually looking like about 25%. So.
Okay. So yeah, that's, I mean, I know it's crazy here, but the world is moving, the planet is moving, the souls are moving forward, and a lot, and we're gonna move forward.
We want to say something about that from the international standpoint, and then unless there are any questions, we'll use this as the closing statement. Is, ladies and gentlemen, remember, we talk about because you are all Americans, you tend to be, U.S. centric in your questions and in your orientation. And needless to say, you're bathed in the mindset and the milieu of this energy field. But we want to tell you have a lot to be hopeful for. Outside of the United States, a lot to be hopeful for. There are a lot of populations who feel oppressed and who are madder than hell, and they're ready to go at it with their own regimes, against their own regimes. But also, there are many regimes that are more ethical and are more progressive and are saying, we're not going to let the United States bully us. I mean, you saw that at the last G7 meeting. That was a milestone. A forward progression where the planet wasn't working in a quote unified way, but they were drawing a line in the sand saying we will not be dragged down to that level of of that continued oppressive and or reactive fear-based intimidation. And that those are wonderful and really useful signs. Now, one of the things, and by the way, this ties in some of Jillian's question, and even to a degree, a tangent of Angela's. And that is the thing that always gets addressed last, but at least Paige's question had a little bit in it. Ladies and gentlemen, you've still got a lot to be concerned about with climate change, resource depletion, particularly water pollution, and the wildness of weather patterns that are coming out. And happening more and more in an extreme way. So many people talk about politics that they often don't realize. Politics are human transactions and interactions, but nature is the milieu you live in. You have control of it only in the sense that you can create such waste and such imbalance because of your abuse of the planet. And you could make slow progress, but the further and further you get away from progress, and more you dig yourself a hole, the worse that imbalance is. And that still has to be dealt with. And that discussion still is, not often at the forefront. So anyway, folks, we want to thank you all for coming tonight. We hope it's been useful to you. And we want to, as we said, hope is something to have. Because you're going to make a future happen. You're not going to succumb to a future. That is the mindset. And you have all had personal experiences in 2025, personal experiences, the ordinal, where there have been pleasant things, good things, useful things, even when there have been shocks that have been around you, things breaking down, cars. cars going bad, whatever, that have pivoted, and the out of the unexpected have come new circumstances. So even people who have lost their jobs, you know, are finding themselves, you know, awash, at least in severances and things of that nature, at least for now, you can pivot, you can do something, you can take a breath, you can move forward. But it will take a lot more effort from here on out. It's no just waiting for the universe to act. You are a member of the universe. You act first and set an example for others, and the momentum will build in the direction you want it. Otherwise, sit back, don't do anything, and the momentum continues to accrue to them. But it's a choice. So, again, we hope that's been of use to you. Thank you once again for all of you tuning in and participating. And we will have the transcripts and the recordings available. For those of you who would like it, you can send an email. And otherwise, I will be posting it all on the website, you know, for review, and probably within a week's time. Okay?
Interesting.
So, everyone, happy Independence Day. celebrate the Constitution,
Michael.
Yes. Thank you so
no
much.
Kings.
Great haircut,
no
Brad,
kings.
By
no
the
kings.
Way.
Oh, thanks.
All right, everyone.
Thanks, Stephen. Thanks,
thank
Michael.
You, thank you, everyone.
Thanks all for coming.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Be well, everyone.
Good night.
Good night. And where's that transcript? I want to make sure that before I go, I save that thing. Gosh. There you are. Okay, pop up. Thank you. Okay. Good.